AM 1420, WASR Wolfboro, W246DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distant Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hasek.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hasek, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, it's been a week.
It has been a week.
We weren't here last Thursday, no, various reasons.
Yep, a lot has happened in a week in the sporting world.
Yes.
And we're going to try to catch up with some of it.
We are a lot to talk about.
We sure do.
How are you?
I'm doing well. This is a really good week because, for me, it's a transition. It's the end of the school year week, and then
You could stop right there.
I know, for you, but
that makes it a good week.
That's a good week, but then I transition, then I have, next week I have Camp Invention.
Okay.
So, which I get really excited about. So, I'll take a couple of days off and then start getting ready for that.
I was just at a social.
Nice.
With our middle school teachers. You know, I'm part of the Sunshine Club.
Oh, the Sunshine. Nothing says Sunshine like Mike Denae.
That is true. Many people have said that.
Yes.
I think people are ready this year. Already. I mean, you watch the news, you read the articles, you know, education has taken a hit over the past 3 years.
Sure.
And we've certainly see that. And to see the work that so many of the teachers have done mm-hmm. over the past, couple of years and the relief that they have of
the end of the year,
the end of
coming.
The year.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You mentioned that and you're seeing a lot of retirements this year.
Yep.
You're seeing a lot of people that are changing professions.
Yep.
So, and then there's the two of us that are sticking it out.
Well,
we're going to do it.
There's not a lot of applicants for teaching jobs.
No.
You know,
remember back in the day. I mean, maybe five years ago. You get 100 applicants for one position.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. And now you're lucky to get an applicant.
To even get someone, right, to apply.
It's just, I know it goes in cycles and it's cyclical that it's going to happen. It's going to come back to where it was. And, but again, I'm thankful for the teachers that I'm sure you are too.
Absolutely.
The teachers that we work with that, what they did. And, we saw today was for our eighth grade, kind of our eighth grade celebration day.
Nice. Yeah.
Last week we went to Canobie Lake. Today we just did field day cookout. Awards,
right,
and things like that, and a lot of goodbyes because a lot of the eighth graders don't come tomorrow. Tomorrow's a half a day, and just to see the teachers right down to the last, the last bit, just putting everything that they have into it, and it's, kids that gave them a really hard time during the year too,
right.
But no, they put that to the side, and it's
yeah.
like send them home on a good, Warren Tickle. I know Warren. And
oh, Warren, yeah.
I know Warren listens to the show every once in a while, but. 20 years ago, he left me with this, leave them with the right message.
Yes.
And I see these teachers doing that day in and day out.
Yep.
Leave them with the right message.
Yeah.
And
that's a great way to do it. Leave them smiling. The other thing was, speaking of saying thanks, I want to say thanks on air to Coach Chip Skelly. Chip Skelly and Skelly's Market donated burgers and dogs and buns so that I could feed the support staff at Ossipee Central School last week. And we were just kind of sharing our, pre-show talking about grilling. You were grilling today. I was grilling last week. But we were able to feed all of our support staff thanks to Coach Skelly and Skelly's Market.
I was with my daughter who's back from.
Yes.
That's why I wasn't at Thursday's show. My daughter's back from her Fulbright year. And we were driving to pick up a car so she could use because she doesn't have a car right now.
Right.
And we were talking about the Skellies and how much they donate to the community. And obviously, Chip and Deb are friends of the show.
Sure.
And between Bailey's Bubble and Skelly's Market, and we're very thankful for their sponsorship on the show, but how much they do for the community. I don't think people realize how much the Skellies do for the community.
It's like so much. And I mean, just, and you get this. I had touched base with Chip and said, you know, I was wondering if you could help me out with the burgers, right?
I was there.
Yes.
I was there when you asked.
Yep.
And
then
it was
all of
instant.
And then all, not only did he say yes, and then all of a sudden was, you know, I had said to him, hey, let me know how much I owe you for the end. And the minute I said that, once I got it, he's like, nothing, you don't owe me anything.
Right.
And that wasn't an expectation. And
no.
That's just, those are the types of people that Deb and Chip are.
Yep.
So we're grateful to have people like that in our community.
We're fortunate. We certainly are fortunate. But Eric, haven't seen you for a week. How are you today?
I am well, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Eric, did you have a good Father's Day? Did you get to see any of the kids?
I did. I saw both my kids yesterday.
Oh,
we did some grilling.
Nice.
Were you the grill master?
No.
Oh, you're not a griller?
No, I'm not.
No? Really? The wife?
No, my son.
Oh, the son. Okay, your son. That's cool. Did you do what did you do? I want to know the menu.
It was just burgers and dogs.
Perfect. Yeah, just the perfect barbecue.
My wife's patented potato salad.
Oh,
yeah,
I love a
great
good,
stuff.
I love a
patented potato salad. You know that it has to be good when it's patented potato salad.
Does she have any egg in the potato salad?
Oh yes. Oh,
okay, my type of potato salad.
Yeah. But any onions in the potato salad?
Yes.
Yeah. See,
he's out. He's finicky, but I'm coming over for the wife's potato salad.
That's
Eric,
the first question. I'm done.
That'd be
between
great.
That and the no frosting, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Yes. Eric and I getting closer each day.
I was asked this weekend, do I have a smoker or do I like to smoke?
Right, yeah.
And,
I don't have a smoker.
I don't have a smoker.
No, I don't either. I've always wanted one.
Yeah, I feel like the three of us are just not manly men right now because we don't have smokers.
I don't think a patient
or
a Harley's smoker. I don't,
yeah,
but I made a brisket not last summer but the summer before. That's how often I make a brisket, and it took, you know, it's like a 6-hour event to make a brisket on the grill, and a smoker is if you smoke meat, it's like a 6 to 8 hour event.
Yeah.
I'm not that patient.
No.
You know,
I mean that's a commitment.
I mean do you remember the show Tool Time?
Yeah, of
with
course.
Tim Allen and everything like that and the Man Kitchen. Do you remember the Man Kitchen that and when he had the grill the meat and he singed it on both sides, it's done.
That's
and that was it. Yeah. That's more like me.
That's who
just,
you are.
It's a quick singe on both sides and then done. An 8 hour smoker, I don't think I could do it.
I don't think I could, just so you know. Please don't make brisket because the two of us got spoiled.
Yeah,
well,
true.
the dueling chefs, they make the world's best brisket. I mean, it melted in my mouth, and I don't think I could ever have brisket again that is that good.
I mean, you've been eating, you know, trying to eat healthy anyway for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen you go up there and get seconds or thirds, might even that day.
I went with thirds,
thirds on the brisket. It was that good.
It was just unbelievable. And Eric, this place is called it's Dueling Chefs. It's a food truck, and they're based out of Ossipee, but they happened to be at a party that we were at, and it's just unbelievable food. Everything from think of any comfort food like mac and cheese and beans and stuff, but the brisket, and then they have pulled pork. Just amazing recipes, amazing flavor.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah,
really
so good.
We've been talking of food a lot because it is wedding season, you know, and the Dene household is in deep into wedding planning and looking at caterers and whether we're going to go food truck. What's the menu going to be like? And so there's a lot of food talk going on at Dene house.
That's exciting. Yeah,
it's exciting. It's expensive.
I was going to say there's a lot of money there.
It's not cheap. Looking at caterers and stuff like that, it's.
Are you feeling like am I going to look out? Are you going to be mowing my lawn daily? Come on, take one for the team, Charlie.
Maybe we might be passing the hat.
Yeah, that's good.
Mike and the Hoss is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro, and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you are there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive $5 off a Gigi box. You can always join our conversation at 603-569-LAKE, 603-569-5253.
Got one more thing. A friend of the show, Doug Kiley, executive director of Great Waters.
Yes.
You got me hooked up last year, and I appreciate it because he's reached out to me.
Yep.
And
are you volunteering?
I am volunteering this year. I'm all in for almost all of the shows up at
Castle.
Almost all the shows at Castle in the Clouds.
Wow.
And doing a little security. He's got a great got great shows planned this summer.
Oh, we got One Night of Queen.
Yeah,
we got some seats for One Night of Queen. That's my daughter's listening. I can't wait to One Night of Queen. We're gonna go with her and her fiance.
Oh, they'll love
it. And I was like, Emma, that's at the end of the summer. We can't.
Yeah,
we
don't
can't,
wish you summer.
We can't
away.
Be looking forward to things at the end of the summer.
You can
we're
celebrate
just
like that'll
starting.
Be yeah. Celebrate that'll be like the
right.
You know, end of the
and
summer celebration.
Like 3 times. Stop, Emma. It's end of the summer. We don't wish for things to happen at the end of August.
No.
But hey, we're going to go to a concert with you, too.
Yeah.
In September.
Yes, we are. We're going to go see Styx and REO Speedwagon.
Wow.
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Wow, so, that's really cool.
What Opening Takes, who Opening Takes brought to you by?
Brought to you by Hancock Lumber for all your building supply needs. And I've been swamped, and we're not going to get into that part, but I didn't put together an Opening Take. I got a whole bunch of takes that I'm going to do as we go through the show, you have one that I wanted that I think deserves time.
I do. So I don't know if you saw this, and Eric, I don't know
if
this came across your radar as well. FINA, which is the swimming's international governing body, swimming as in, you know, competitive swimming, Olympic swimming, things like that. The gender inclusion policy will now only permit swimmers who transitioned before the age of 12 to compete in women's events. FINA members voted 71.5% in favor of the new policies. And it says there was also a proposal for a new open competition policy. The organization said it was setting up a new working group that will spend the next 6 months looking at the most effective ways to set up this new category. So basically, to boil it down, the international governing body for swimming has said, if you transition from male to female after the age of 12, so really what we're talking here is pre-puberty, then you cannot compete in women's events.
Do you want to put some background into this on why?
So the swimmer was Leah Thomas,
right?
And Leah Thomas swam competitively in college first as a male, and then transitioned and became a female, and as a female, really dominated the sport at the college level. So the Olympic Committee, Olympic Committee didn't really have an opinion on this, and they were waiting for FINA to come out and make a ruling on this. And we had talked about on the show before that, listen, I think, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm pretty sure we agree that probably males that become females probably shouldn't compete in women's sports, but there should be a separate category so that men, is that not what you said?
No, I think what I said was that I don't think it was okay. I'd say okay, it was, for lack of a better word,
sure,
that the Leah Thompson story
Leah
was
Thomas,
that
Thomas.
Leah Thomas, sorry, yeah. That she competed the very next year. She competed as a male,
right,
her freshman year, if I got that right.
That's correct, at college.
And in college.
Yes.
And then competed as a female her sophomore year.
Right.
And I thought that was...
There hadn't been enough time...
That's right.
...between the transitioning, so
that's right,
the possibility of the testosterone level being high enough.
Correct.
All right, so now we're at a point where I guess it would have been my position that I've got no problem with transgender athletes competing, and I fully support that, but should they have their own category? And now, at least in the world of swimming, that's what they're going to take a look at to say, okay, we will have a transgender category.
Which is fine. What I would have liked to have known, and maybe we could find this out, what were the other proposals?
Right, and we'll have to figure
that
out.
You know, I went back and forth on, you know, when, and I puberty makes sense, age 12, definitive time. But I'm just curious on what the other proposals were, because 29% of the people that are on this board
opposed it. Yeah.
And so what were they opposed to? What else did they want to have?
Right.
And it's you're not going to make everybody happy. This is one of those things you are not going to make everybody happy. And
I mean, you already have backlash from this. Backlash in the sense of there's an outcry of people saying now you're going to push young girls into transitioning at an age where they shouldn't transition. That's one of the arguments. You know, how can you have a 10, 11, 12, 9-year-old transition when they shouldn't?
You lost me a little bit there.
So what I'm going back to is there's a group of people that feel like, you know, the age of 12. So now they're these young kids who are malleable are going to be pushed towards transitioning at an earlier age. This is the argument. This is not my argument. This is an argument from some of the groups saying that, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous, meaning that some of these groups wanted to say, hey, you know what? If you went from male to female, you can't compete, period, in women's sports forever. You're banned for life.
Okay. All right. So now I'm following it. And so now I could see now at the 29% part, if somebody transitions as a 14-year-old.
Right. So now they're saying, uh-uh.
If they transition at a 14-year-old,
yeah,
and they want to compete as a junior in college, for instance,
right.
isn't that enough time?
Well,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we don't know. We're not chemists. We don't understand the science
right.
and the organics of the
yeah.
human body and when you transition your testosterone levels and so on. But that I could see the point as far as if it's a long period of time in between when somebody transitions and when they compete mm-hmm. or when they're allowed to compete, I could see that. But now, and I see what you're saying that. By putting a hard line at 12, you're saying
yeah.
you've got to commit before 12.
Yeah.
And we know, as you know, certainly me at the middle school, these decisions are made after what decisions? That's probably the wrong word to use on this. But anyway, these things happen after the age of 12.
Correct.
More often than not.
Right. That's yeah. That's what that group you know, was getting at.
I mean,
sure.
I think that having a hard number. Thinking about it as we're talking about it, having a hard number of 12 is tough when I think what we needed to avoid was Leah Thomas and transitioning 1 year and competing the next year.
Right.
That's what we needed
you know, what
to avoid.
That, what, unfortunately, with Leah
Thomas. This might have swung the pendulum too far.
It may have. What with Leah Thomas, the issue that we had discussed is that it was the, hey, as a guy, I really stunk at swimming. So I've transitioned.
Or I was average.
I was, well, no, actually, he's
all right.
When
he, well, he was
when,
a college swimmer.
Yeah. Well, right. But not very good in comparison to.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. Anybody that's playing in a college, well, for most sports.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden is now number one, you know, in their category. So that was the, it was kind of a, that kind of stuck it to the women swimmers.
I want to ask Eric. Yeah. I mean, you're just kind of listening to this, and I think you've been following along, and we've talked about Leah Thomas for a little bit. How do you feel about this policy saying that make a decision by 12 or else it doesn't happen?
I don't even see how that's possible to establish a bright line like that.
Yeah, yeah, and that's where I'm at too. It's just you know, seeing it, I understand where they're going. But
right.
that's just
I'm not
so,
sure how they got there.
So do you think the 71.5% created, as Eric said, created this bright line because they were actually saying, we don't want transgender people swimming,
period.
So we're going to say, oh, let's go 12 because for most people it's pre-puberty. And we're using that as our line.
Yeah. I think this is completely discouraging. That,
right.
Totally. And it's certainly not a welcoming policy.
No, certainly there's no inclusion here.
No.
So I
wonder now, I look at this, and I wonder how this is going to get challenged in the courts.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just like
it probably already, it probably
basically every
already,
other policy
yeah.
gets challenged in the courts.
Yeah.
This will get challenged in the courts, and I'm curious on how this is going to make it, because having that hard line at 12, rather than looking at testosterone levels and estrogen levels and all the, you know,
right.
the levels that they can look at. I'd like to see more science involved with this to say, you know, you can compete if you've met these criteria scientifically after
right.
a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Not a hard line, because some kids don't get to puberty until they're 14. Some kids get to puberty when they're 10.
Yeah, right.
You
exactly.
Know,
there's teaching in school,
we see this all the time.
Exactly.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, Charlie, not sure if you heard the news. Hancock Lumber recently acquired the Winnipesaukee Lumber from the Quimby family, who established and owned the lumber yard since 1985. Hancock Lumber, in business for nearly 175 years, is a seventh-generation integrated forest products company who is passionate about its people-first and values-driven culture. Team Hancock is a multi-year recipient of the Best Place to Work in Maine award. Hancock's 11 existing lumber yards, truss, wall panel manufacturing facilities, timberlands, and 9 kitchen design showrooms, and 3 sawmills will provide their new team with an additional set of manufacturing and distribution resources. These resources are in addition to the existing product and service offerings catering to the community's high-end residential contractors and subcontractors.
Visit Hancock Lumber in Wolfboro today or go to hancocklumber.com for all your building supply needs.
Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or DuranIndependentInsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you. When looking for a sub in town, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro. For some of the most tasty subs in town, you have to try the Full Belly Deli. Hey, Charlie, do you know about the Thanksgiving Fridays?
I sure do. Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and mayo on a grilled homemade white bread. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955. And don't forget to tell them Mike and the Hoss sent you.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. Charlie was yelling at me.
I love that.
It dawned on me what you were saying.
I wish people could see us. We put our headphones on, and then we can't, unless we're on mic or live, we can't understand what any of us are saying.
Yeah, it clicked
and
on what you're saying.
I am terrible. I know.
That is something that we have to do. I'm thinking Thursday we do that.
We have to do that on Thursday. But it's funny. We try to give each other sign language, and it just doesn't work.
Obviously, you know Dean Little.
Of course.
He used to work for me in the mowing and landscaping stuff. And we would have signs because we would have headphones on. I'm sure most landscapers do this.
Sure.
And we would have hand signs about what we wanted. And we had signs for, get the tarp, get the basket, this kind of rake, all those kinds of things. It was kind of funny. That we developed this whole set of communication.
Yeah. Because you couldn't hear each other. You couldn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what time it is? Kingswood Sports, Mike.
Brought to you by Duran Independent Insurance.
Duran is independent and works for you.
Obviously, as we move into the summer months, there's not a lot of Kingswood Sports to talk about, but there's a lot of things happening in Kingswood Sports that we can talk about.
Yes.
Do you want to get going?
Sure. First off, we have fall registration. You can register at kingswoodathletics.org. And actually, for anything we talk about today, if you go to kingswoodathletics.org, you can get all of this information. Couple things before we go into Kingswood camps, and I know you're going to talk about those, Mike. Wrestling is returning to Kingswood. So there was a wrestling team years ago at Kingswood, and it was a very successful wrestling team. And it's going to be returning this summer. They're going to be doing some clinics, and you'll talk about that shortly. But if you're interested in wrestling, wrestling is a great winter sport. You've heard about it from athletes. In other sports, wrestling is one of those things that helps you, with being quick and agility and your speed and certainly your flexibility. And it's an awesome sport to kind of complement your fall and spring sports.
Remember the movie Vision Quest, I think it was. Do you remember Matthew Modine?
Yes.
Vision Quest? I think it was called Vision Quest. He was a wrestler, a high school wrestler. And he was good, but he had to lose a ton of weight to get to. He wanted to, and I forget the name of the guy, had a cool name. And it was about his training and everything like that. It just brought up, there's not many wrestling movies out there.
No.
Except The Wrestler.
The Wrestler. And and it's true that's the only bad rap that wrestling has is like you got to shed the pounds to get to make weight and stuff. I hate seeing that, when you see guys running around with like trash bags on. Remember that from the 80s?
Boxing too.
Yeah.
You got to make weight, and then they put the weight back on. They put on like 5 or 10 pounds before their match
That's
or whatever.
Right, yeah,
but so, I get it. You gotta fight in the division that your weight is, because you can see wrestling.
Right.
And
yeah, of course.
What's your thoughts on sumo wrestling?
Big fan. I love sumo wrestling because the reason, the delicious food that they eat and the mass quantities of it. I love Japanese food, Do you like the old sumo wrestling?
I like watching sumo wrestling. They're just so big.
Just big and athletic.
And they're so much more athletic than people give them credit for.
Yeah.
It's all about center of gravity and positioning.
You nailed it. Think about hockey. Think about football. Center of gravity, you're making a hit, trying to get leverage.
Eric, sumo wrestler?
No.
No?
No,
I've seen it
a few times on TV, but no. Wrestling in general. Yeah. Wrestling, boxing, doesn't appeal to me.
No.
How about MMA?
Nope.
No?
Gosh,
no.
If he doesn't like wrestling and boxing, MMA is a little more extreme.
That's
the violent side of
true.
Eric Scott. that's real extreme, MMA.
I would say I
don't think I like MMA either, really.
If I was going to order my combat sports, we'll call them combat sports.
Okay.
I'd put MMA first.
Yeah.
Just because it's, probably says a lot about me, but it's real. People getting hit, it's there's people that are knocked out. I mean, if you're going to fight, you might as well, you know, fight to the finish, for lack of a better
word. Eric, from the Sunshine Fund to MMA, wants to knock people out.
That is right.
Holy cow.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
And then, but I put wrestling last.
As far, yeah.
You know, I mean, boxing's probably in between, like heavyweight boxing. I mean, you know, a good boxing match with a lot of hype to it.
Yeah.
I'd be into that. I used to love watching Mike Tyson fight.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, those are funny. You get the pay-per-view and watch it with 20 guys.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and I like watching Conor McGregor because of the hype that went with it, even though I didn't like him.
I probably asked you this in the past. Did you like the original WWF, World Wrestling Federation, before it became the WWE? Were you into it?
Stand any of that fake wrestling crap.
Macho Man, Randy Savage, Andre the Giant.
I told you the story that I went to see Macho Man Randy Savage and his girlfriend or whoever it was there wrestle at the Garden. And it was a thing to do. I went to see it. I never got into it. But boy, some people get into it.
Oh, yeah.
And they follow it, and they follow it like soap operas.
Ember, that's really what it is, though. It's that storyline that carries on. Eric, were you into pro wrestling?
Never.
Back? No, never. Never. Hulk Hogan?
No.
Hulkamania?
No, never really,
I can't tell you how many shirts I tried to rip open, and I was never successful.
I respect the guys for trying to make a living that way, but it was never my cup of tea.
No, I mean, it's definitely great.
But it's so fake. It's so staged.
Yeah.
It's like going to watch a play.
Because they obviously they know who's going to win, what they're going to say.
Right.
I mean,
I guess the audience doesn't necessarily know what's going to win.
There is still athleticism.
Yes.
In what they do, which I appreciate when you got a 350-pound guy flying through the air.
There's also athleticism in a stuntman.
Oh, I don't disagree.
And I would put those on the same par, is that a professional wrestler in terms of WWE kind of guy and a stuntman are basically doing the same kinds of stuff. It's kind of like a stuntman combined with an actor.
Right. Right.
Because they're just putting on a show.
That's true. You know who one of the best big man athletes? Chris Farley. Chris Farley. So you remember the skit?
Are we going to talk about the Dirty Dancing?
My gosh, with Patrick Swayze. Do you remember this, Eric? So Chris Farley, gone too soon.
No,
love that guy. So they were auditioning. So you know Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Okay. So they were auditioning for Chippendales. You know
the male strippers.
Chris Farley is a big man, was a big man.
Patrick Swayze was pretty buff at the time.
Yeah, super buff. And that was in his Dirty Dancing days, or just post-Dirty
Dancing
days. They went out there, and they competed. It was like a dance-off. And you got to Google it sometime. It was hysterical. But Chris Farley had been almost four bills, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And he was doing crazy things. I mean, he was doing, like, the worm and moving and cartwheels. And just to see someone that big be that athletic, it was unbelievable. And Patrick Swayze is obviously very fit and a dancer. So, you know, he expected it. And the lines between Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley. Like, Chris Farley would finish, like, and everybody knew that Chris Farley wasn't going to be selected as the winner. But Patrick Swayze would be like, "You did a great job. I think you're going to win this." And
really
it was just, it was awesome. Yeah. So, tonight, that's your homework, Eric. Check that out.
I will.
Are we ready to talk about Kingswood Sports? We kind of sidetracked ourselves then.
Absolutely. And then let me mention the Kingswood Youth Football Festival. That is Saturday, June 25th. So, if you're interested in playing if you're any, you know, the grades, what are the grades? Do you see it there? It's like kindergarten through eighth grade.
I'll get to it in
a second. Youth football. It's going to be a great day with the new football coaches, head coach Tom McCullough, his staff, and the best part, free barbecue.
All right, you're kind of stealing my thunder here. So, wrestling, these are the camps, the summer clinics or camps that Kingswood's sponsoring. And, it's, you know, compliments to Aaron House for getting this stuff organized. Because we had camp sporadically in the past, but now it's organized. It's and they don't generally overlap, which is pretty cool too. So wrestling, June 18th, June 27th to June 30th, and that's grades 4 through 12. Youth football festival that you just mentioned, that's on June 25th. Again, free barbecue, grades 3 through 12.
Okay,
I heard 60 kids signed up for football at this point.
Yes,
60.
That's fantastic.
Volleyball, June 28th to June 30th, grades 4 through 8th. Field hockey, June 17th to July 17th to July 20th. That is grades 4 through 8. This is field hockey, right? Tennis, July 8th and August 3rd. So two separate clinics, grades 4 through 9. Basketball, July 18th to July 21st, grades 3 through 12. Football, the July 24th to July 27th, grades 4 through 12. And then soccer, August 2nd to August 4th, grades 1 through 4. And as Charlie mentioned earlier, you can always go to kingswoodathletics.org to sign up for these or find out more information. Again, kingswoodathletics.org to find some more information on the summer clinics at Kingswood.
And fall preseason athletes, you should be looking for an email from your coach, but fall preseason, believe it or not, starts Monday, June 27th. So that's coming up 1 week from today, which is exciting.
That's
and
awesome.
So actually, and just so you know, some preseasons are starting this week. So if you are an athlete, make sure you check with your fall coach.
Awesome. Awesome. So previewing what we have left on the show, we're going to start talking Celtics.
We do. We're going to talk about Celtics.
We're going to wrap up the Celtics season.
Rest in peace, Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and I owe my buddy Ray, I think I told you this, I lost the bet. I had taken the Celtics in seven. He had taken Golden State, so I'm going to owe him a breakfast.
In seven or six? Did he take Golden State in seven or six?
I don't remember. He probably took him in six. He probably nailed it. I'll give him credit for that. But I owe him a breakfast, so I'll make good on that in a couple of weeks when he comes out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about the Celtics and kind of putting, I mean, the roller coaster of a Celtics ride that we've been on.
Yeah.
And we're also going to talk Red Sox, and I don't know if that's a roller coaster.
No.
It seems to be a slow grind at this point.
We'll talk a little U.S. Open.
Oh, I want to talk about
that. I know you do. I know. That's why.
Did you watch the golf?
Made sure. I watched the highlights of the stuff. I didn't watch it, but yeah.
It's hard to watch it. There was like 12 hours every day of coverage.
Sure.
So it was pretty difficult to watch it all. But it's a major, and it was a very successful major in terms of the venue and how it went off. We'll get to that when we get there. But definitely. We'll be right back. Mike and the Hoss.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Hoss. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your healthcare needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Fay. No one knows the local market better than Fay, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshot.com. All right, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. Charlie and I are getting into a little bit of semi-politics talk.
We do it, yeah. We do it during our breaks, which is great.
Sometimes it carries over onto the show.
It does sometimes carry over, but one of the things that I've learned over the years is I don't like an upset Mike Danae. So it's
just once.
Yeah, we're more productive when we're not aggravating each other.
Okay, it's time for Eric's Wonders. Sponsored by Skelly's Market.
The convenience store with a little more. So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Eric, I'll let you do it, but Eric hit us with some sports mentioned, a strong side and a weak side. On this show, we have the strong side, which sits to the left of Eric, and the weaker side that sits to the right of Eric.
My goodness. It's kind of funny because you're going to learn a little something about football here, and they certainly, the left side is usually not the strong side. So, Eric, I came up, and Mike, I didn't really think this through, and obviously I like your perspective on other sports, but the minute that Eric said strong side and weak side, I immediately just defaulted to football. So with football, Eric, the basic definition of strong side in football is the side. So think of in football, think of offense, okay, because the offense is going to determine the strong and weak side. So if there is a tight end If there is one tight end, whatever side the tight end lines up on, that is the strong side because it gives you an extra blocker for the run game. Now, that's not the end of this, so hang with me.
I'm here.
Okay, so if there's only one tight end, no big deal. But what happens, Eric, if there are two tight ends? Okay, if you have two tight ends, so you have two tight ends on opposite sides, so if looking at the line, then you can't really determine is there a strong side or a weak side. So in that case, you have to look into the backfield, and you look for the fullback, so one of the two running backs in the backfield, and the fullback will either be lined up to the right of the quarterback or to the left of the quarterback. So whatever side the fullback is on, that becomes the strong side. So if the fullback's to the right, it's the right side's the strong side. If it's to the left, so forth, the left side. Okay. So now it gets a little more complicated, okay? If the quarterback is in shotgun formation, so you see a lot of this, especially in pro football, where the quarterback is not underneath center. He's back a few yards, and the center snaps him the ball. If the quarterback's in shotgun formation and there are two tight ends, then the strong side of the formation is generally determined by the halfback. The halfback would be the running back behind the quarterback, all right? So the halfback would usually be to the right or the left. Now, check this out, all right? Because you're saying, what happens if everything is symmetrical? So there's no difference between the right and left sides of the formation, meaning you've probably may have heard the term I formation. So let's say the quarterback was in shotgun, and for some reason the fullback was right behind him and the halfback was right behind him. You got two tight ends, so you don't have – you got all this craziness, right? So it looks even on either side. Guess what? The strong side, just like in life, just like in politics, is to the right. The right is always going to be the strong side. And the reason for that is the right tackle in football is usually the better run blocker. And the left tackle is the better pass blocker. And in football, designations for strong side and weak side are based off the running game.
Unless the quarterback's a southpaw, then it
yeah,
would be.
Yeah, but we don't have to, yeah. But so
on Tuesday,
yeah,
during a rainstorm.
So, yeah, so you all you need to know, Eric, in all of this is – If there's just one tight end, wherever that tight end is the strong side. If there's two tight ends, see where the running back is you know, leaning towards, if it's right or left. If everything looks even and symmetrical, you just say it's going to be the right side because the right side is the strong side.
Can't you just simply say where the side that has more players is the strong side?
You can say that, but that's not necessarily true because it's not true. It's based on the tight end and the running backs. You can go trips right.
If you go trips right and the tight end is to the left,
you could still
it's still strong side left.
Yeah.
It still would be considered strong side left. Okay.
So you kind of have to base it on these designations. And even with your comment about a lefty doesn't make a difference because still it's
if it's a lefty, then the right tackle is the pass blocking tackle.
Right. Your right tackle would cover the blind side. But you're still right.
You're right
about that part.
Okay,
but you're still going to have that. It would only be strong left if it were symmetrical.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay.
Now, in other sports, it's generally strong side, weak side is where the ball or the puck is.
Yeah.
So if you like in hockey, if you're going down the right side, the puck's on the right side. Most of your players are going to end up shifting towards that right side. So the weak side would be the left side. So you see a weak side pass because there's fewer players on that side. And the same thing would be in soccer. Soccer, I think, is referred to as changing fields. The opposite field in soccer. But I think it's still under the same thing.
Strong side, weak side.
Because let's say the ball's going down the right side. We'll talk soccer for a second. So obviously your right wings are and your right halfbacks and your right fullbacks and so on, if you're playing that kind of alignment, are going to be with the ball. But your centers are also your center mids, your center halves and so on, your center fullbacks are also going to lean that way. And so they're leaning that side of the field. So think about the field being on a scale. With more players there, it's tilting that way because more players are there, and so that's the strong side, whereas the weak side is the other side that's lifting up because the players aren't there. So you see a lot in sports and hockey. We do this in hockey. You know, weak side passes where
right.
Because there's fewer players there. There's fewer players, and the teams have to adjust. And I think, in soccer, you hear them say, change the field. They're saying
right.
Get the ball to the other side of the field where there's fewer players.
And, Eric, the last thing I wanted to leave you with, at least from a football perspective, from the defensive side of the ball, you know, offense determines strength, right, as to where the strength is going to be. Defense with a linebacker, so let's just a simple defense, 4-3. So you have four down linemen and three linebackers. So your linebackers have names. You have Sam, which is strong side linebacker. You have Mike, which is always middle linebacker. And you have Will, which is the weak linebacker. So you Sam, Mike, and Will. And you'll see in football, there's a designation for, you know, if the strong if it's strong right, then your strong linebacker is shifting that way. And if it goes the other way, then you'll see the linebacker switch. The middle linebacker always stays put, but the strong linebacker moves to the strong side. The weak linebacker stays on the weak side.
I had never heard that before, the Sam, Mike, and Will. I knew the Mike was the middle linebacker. Yeah. I never heard the Sam and Will. I always wondered why my wife was really strong about choosing my children's names.
Yes.
Especially my boys. And now that I know that
so don't go there. So you're saying Sam is the strong one and Will is the weak one?
No, I'm just saying that my wife chose my boys' names
based on linebackers.
Yeah.
You gotta have one more. Maybe you'll have a grandson and they'll name him Mike.
I was always maybe.
You are the Mike.
Well,
how cool is this?
I always wonder why she chose these names.
The linebacker core.
It's based on linebackers.
There you go. Who knew that you were such a huge football fan?
Who knew?
All right. Does that help, Eric? Does that take care of your wonder?
It does.
Always a good wonder. For me too, because it's good to get back into the basics again.
We have got to get to the Celtics. That was Eric's Wonders brought to you by Skelly's Market.
The convenience store with a little more.
The Celtics are brought to you by nobody because
their season is over.
Their season's over. We're going to have to probably extend the Celtics talk into the next show too because I mean some questions. So the Celtics lost games 3, 4, 5. I think that's the ones they lost, right? Yeah, games.
Yes. No, they lost game 6, Mike.
No, so 4, 5, 6 they lost. They lost 3 games in a row. As we digest the season, I mentioned roller coaster.
Right.
You and I were way down on the Celtics basically until mid-January. We were way down on the Celtics, and they started winning. We still were believers, and we talked about
nibbling the cheese.
And the Boston Celtics made it to Game 6 of the NBA Finals and lost to one of the greatest franchises at this point, dynasties.
Yes.
In modern history.
The Warriors.
You know, you've got Celtics, you've got Lakers, you've got Bulls, and you've got Warriors.
Right.
Probably in that order. Was the season a disappointment overall? First question.
No.
Okay. Did the Celtics choke at the end?
Yes.
All right. Now, as we digest that, they reverted. And you and I have been saying from throughout this whole run, if they revert back to how they were playing, they're in trouble because they're not a good team when they play that way. And it seems to be that's the way they want to play.
Right.
They wanted to play that. Their stars, I shouldn't say their stars, some of their stars showed up.
Yeah.
Their biggest star didn't show up.
Yeah, Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum had a major disappointing finals, and you probably saw on Twitter I was with friend of the show Cam Place.
Sure.
We were going back and forth a little bit about Jason Tatum, and I said he spent 2 years in a political campaign to make the All-NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Once he made the All-NBA, which was announced I want to say sometime during the Bulls series,
right? Yeah, during the playoffs.
Oh, not the Bulls series, the Heat series. It was announced at that point.
It was the Heat because it was after Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't really have much of any kind of games at all.
Right.
Jason Tatum was not the reason why we got to the finals.
Right.
Jason Tatum was the reason why that we did as well as we did in January, February, March, and April.
Yeah, if you say the reason why, I mean, you could say Marcus Smart. You could say Grant Williams. You could say Rob Williams. Say Al Horford.
Or Jaylen
Brown.
It wasn't Jason Tatum. Okay, yeah. So Jason Tatum was a disappointment. He's going to take a lot of heat this year.
Right.
Offseason, he's going to take a lot of heat. Do you think it's rightfully so that he takes the heat?
Absolutely.
That he does?
If he wants to be a superstar of this league, then he needs to take the heat.
Yep. And that's what I said to Cam. He's been having this campaign that he wants to be the man. But when the lights are shining the brightest, he doesn't want to be the man anymore.
No. He has to be, though.
But he doesn't want to be. So,
well, if he doesn't want to be, then he can't be a superstar in the league. He can't go down in history with the LeBrons and the Michael Jordans and the Magic Johnsons.
But this has been the beef for Jason Tatum all along, that he wants the accolades of being the man, but he doesn't want the grind of being the man.
Right.
And that's a problem that I've had with Jason Tatum for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed up during these finals, that he wants the accolades of being the man. He wants to, and that's why you see him playing the ISO ball as much as he does, because he wants that, the show on top of him, the lights to be shone on him, but, you know, he doesn't deliver.
Right.
He doesn't deliver when it mattered. Moving forward, I went on a kind of a time crunch already. Moving forward, is this Celtics team built as it is right now good enough to win an NBA Finals?
They came awfully close. But so, are you going to get with, you know, let's say Al Horford's going to be a year older. Are you going to get the same thing out of Al Horford?
Yes.
That you got this year?
Yes. Al Horford is driven to win a title more than anybody else on that team.
I guess I don't disagree with you. Yeah. No. I would say, you know, he's gonna be a little bit older.
Yep.
I mean, I think they got this close. I think the answer is yes. I think the team is built to win a championship. And you could see in the notes here, you know, who are they going to give? Take a look at salaries. Right, next year's salaries are at $157 million, and that's well above the $122 million.
Yeah. Before you go on, did you see how much Golden State's was this year?
Oh, I did. I did see that.
$300-something million.
Right.
Dollars.
Yeah.
They pay a ridiculous amount of luxury tax. They don't care.
Right.
We're going to pay these guys. We're going to play Clay. We're going to pay, you know, stuff, and we're going to pay everybody. And they don't care. We're going to pay the tax. So when I see $157 million, $122 million, okay.
You're thinking, like, okay, it's half of Golden State.
It's half of Golden State. So the NBA salary cap
is
stupid.
It's kind of – it's fluff
it
anyway.
It really is stupid. Yeah. So I don't want to talk about salary caps.
So what are they – I mean, so what do you think? What do they need – well, actually, you didn't answer the question. Are they built to win – are they built – if you were to take this team as is, can they contend for a championship next season?
No.
Why?
Because they don't have the point guard that – will make the offense run consistently on a night in and night out basis.
Might be available. I don't know if you've been following that.
I think that I would stay away from Kyrie because I think that they got as far as they did now because they finally shed the weight of Kyrie.
Of course. Of course.
But I think that
so you want them to get a legit.
I want to get a distributor of the ball that runs an offense that will force these guys to not stand still. Mm-hmm. And who that is, I don't know who that is, but that's what I think that that's what they need. You know, I applaud Marcus Smart how he changed his game halfway through January,
right,
and became much more of a facilitator. But he ended up shooting the ball like he did the first half of the year during these games, the last games. Now, and I mentioned this in the last show, I don't blame it completely on Marcus Smart because Jason Tatum passing the ball with 3 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah.
Not, you know, possession after possession after possession.
Right.
So
didn't want to take the shot.
No, but somebody needs to get to Jason Tatum and say, you can't be this guy unless you're this guy first.
Right.
But he's trying to jump steps and he wants to be this guy. I'm really worried about Tatum getting that all-NBA nod that he did this year, because you know what the next step's going to be. The political campaign is going to be MVP stuff.
Sure.
We're going to be hearing MVP chants all next year. And that's what he's going to be thinking. He's going to be thinking, well, I got to put up 40. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we win the games or not. I got to put up 40. He said a lot of good things down, you know, until we got to the finals.
Right.
And when we got to the finals, it all changed.
He fell flat.
He fell flat because he wasn't ready for it, and he didn't want it. You know who didn't fall flat?
Al Horford.
Al Horford, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown did not fall flat. Jaylen Brown, in that game, on game six, when the Celtics were down, he kept going to the basket.
Yeah.
He kept trying to put, you know, Tatum was ridiculously bad in that game. Ridiculously bad. I mean, just stupid shot after stupid shot after stupid shot, shying away from contact. I mean, I could go on forever and ever. You mentioned here, which I'm very surprised that you did. We're going to go on a break in a second.
Yeah.
Peyton Pritchard as a trade chip.
I know.
You're a Pritchard guy.
I'm all in on Peyton Pritchard. But are there teams out there that might be looking for a Peyton Pritchard-type player where the Celtics could then in return get something in return? So, I mean, Peyton Pritchard, unfortunately, his minutes actually declined as we went through the playoffs, which disappointed me because I thought I love him. You know that.
Yeah.
But, I think there's something for them to dangle. The Celtics don't have a first-round pick in this Thursday's draft. So who knows? I mean, they could trade to get a first-round pick. But I don't know. I think they're built to win. You disagree with me. But getting back to that, if they need to come up with some type of point guard or someone who's going to help supplement Marcus Smart, then they're going to need to maybe trade someone?
I don't think mentally they're built to win next year. I don't think mentally they have never handled prosperity, and we've talked about it. When they have to win games, they did pretty well this year. When they didn't have to win games, when they're they lost.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that their mentality during these finals was that we made the finals, we're good.
Yeah.
And we're good.
And Mike and the Haas have said they had a successful season.
Yep. They had a successful season.
And we're disappointed, but
But now they've raised the stakes.
Yeah. Now they get to win it.
Yeah, they've raised the stakes, and I don't think they're going to be able to follow up. I just don't think they're – and I think a lot of goes into what the comments for the coach said. May Aduko. Thank you. Said, what does your team need? This is, we'll leave with this. What does your team need? He says, we got to work on our IQ.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. Is it, the coach said straight up, he says, we got to become smarter basketball players.
Stop turning the ball over.
Yep. All right. We'll be right back. Mike and the Haas is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating anniversary, or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Linda's Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Linda's Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513, or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Linda's Flowers will deliver right to your door. After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to. All right, welcome back to Mike and the Haas. Charlie, I mentioned the social that we did after school, and you know where that was?
Back Bay Boathouse.
It was, and specials today is Monday, $10 lunch specials, $5 mule specials. Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, $5 margaritas. Wednesdays, half-price bottles of wine, $10 wings. I had the wings today.
Did you? Delicious.
I did have the wings.
Were you out on the deck?
Nope. We were in the lower room.
Okay.
Which was nice. It was nice. Merrill did a phenomenal job for us. It's great. And then Thursday, even though we're going to be here Thursday, $12 burger and Busch Lights, $20 prime rib dinners. I haven't had a prime rib there in a few weeks, so.
Might be the night for you.
Maybe Thursday.
There you go.
Maybe it is.
You know they're doing all those happy hour specials.
You get
like a 99-cent Busch Light and different appetizers for like $5.
Are you a Busch Light drinker?
I'm not a beer drinker, but yeah. I would like to be like, I mean, I like cheap, so 99 cents to me sounds pretty good.
No, I'm still the $7 Truly.
Yeah, there you go. But it's on tap, right?
It is on tap.
You know, all right. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I'm excited, Mike. The Red Sox—they're just exciting me.
Why? They're losing ground.
Listen, I know you're saying that they're losing ground, and I get that, and that's a fact.
It's math.
It's a fact.
I get
that it's math, but you put in here exactly what I wanted to say. They've won 9 series in a row,
and they've lost ground on the Yankees and on the wild card.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they're in a position now to move ahead of
Tampa
and then Toronto. They're all within striking distance. So the Red Sox,
let me say it again, they're losing ground.
I understand they're a half game out of the wild card.
Okay. They were in the wild card last time we had a show.
Yeah. Well, that's because the Guardians are playing stinking good baseball right now. So we got to, you know, they got the Angels have fallen flat, and now it's the Guardians. You're not excited at all about the Red Sox?
I'm relieved about the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about the Red Sox.
Okay.
I'm relieved that they're somewhat relevant, that the games matter. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm still a little bit shy about trusting the management of this team. Not talking Alex Cora, I'm talking the upper management.
Yeah.
On
like above Heim Bloom.
Yes, yeah. On what they're going to do. Because they are losing ground. No matter how you cut it, they're losing ground. And if your team is losing ground on the wild card and on the division, does that
make you a seller?
Well, it kind of has to. Things that we should be excited about. Chris Sale is coming back.
Yeah.
But he's coming back after Toronto. You know why he's coming back after Toronto?
He must not be vaccinated.
Correct. Correct. Team first.
Yep.
Mr. Chris Sale, team first. Tanner Houck, they seem to have found a closer.
And they needed a closer.
They really needed a closer
earlier in the year. So.
And I would say that they probably won these games against St. Louis. I mean, you know, we'd mentioned 9 series in a row. 2 of those series were against first-place teams.
Yeah. Cardinals being the most recent.
And, I mean, the Cardinals are a legit
yeah.
World Series contender.
Right.
So, you know, it was nice seeing that they did an Albert Pujols thing. Did you catch that?
Yes, a little tribute.
I didn't know Albert Pujols was still around.
You didn't?
No, yeah. I mean, he's like 50.
I know. It's true because, you know, they figured that he fudged the birth certificate.
Yes, he's yeah. like 50.
Still playing in the league, though.
He had some at-bats. There are some things to be excited about. The Neil Diamond returning and singing Sweet Caroline in a 10-2 loss.
I just threw that up there. And I get the whole thing. Look, I saw Neil Diamond in concert. I love Neil Diamond. He's suffering now from Parkinson's.
I didn't know that.
He retired in 2018. He hasn't performed publicly. And the fact that he came to Fenway, and it's great that he was there. But I think friend of the show here, Josh Spaulding, has talked about this quite a bit. If you're going to do Sweet Caroline, great. Great tradition, fine. I can live with that. But not when your team is losing. If your team is losing, do not sing Sweet Caroline, whether or not Neil Diamond is there.
I'm 100% with Josh.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a really stupid look when you're down by 8 runs in the 7th inning or 8th inning when they do Sweet Caroline.
And I've said this before, and I got flack from it before, but going, you know, when I was at a game earlier in the season, there were people that specifically stayed so they could sing Sweet Caroline and then left the ball game.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
So the big question, are they going to be buyers or sellers? And we're really talking about Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, he's the only one we'll be talking about as far as selling.
I mean, they could sell everybody else on the team besides Devers, and I'd be perfectly fine. I'm 100% yeah. serious. There isn't anybody on that team that I would be upset with if they sold besides Bogaerts and Devers. You tell me. Is there anybody on that team that you'd be upset about? Like, really upset about?
I like Pivetta. I like Eovaldi. I wouldn't be upset. No, I'm not going to cry in my Busch Light over that. But, yeah, I mean, I just, you're right. I mean, I would be upset if it were Devers and Bogaerts.
That's it.
Yeah. And, you're right. That's it.
And one of them is going to go. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be Bogaerts.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be Devers.
Boy, you talk about dark days. The Red Sox management is going to take some heat if that happens.
Yeah.
Especially if they're relevant. If they're relevant, you know, if they keep, they've won 9 series in a row.
Yeah.
Now, you know who they haven't played very much? The Yankees.
Well, they haven't played the Yankees.
They played the Yankees in the opening weekend, and they haven't played them since.
Right.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see. Now, the Yankees, I don't think they're going to lose again.
Yeah.
They're
coming up. That series is coming up the July 4th week.
Yeah.
They got 4 game series.
The Yankees are on a tear to win 115, 120 games.
Yeah, that's craziness.
You know, I was at the gym, and an old student of mine, Yankee honk.
That's unfortunate.
Yes, it is. He took out his head and said, hey, you know what? The Yankees can go 500 the rest of the year and still win 96 games. Out of nowhere, he says this to me.
Yeah,
you know, I had him like 15 years ago as a student. He just he just threw a zinger at me before I did my set. But I'm worried. I'm really worried that they're going to sell because I think they want to sell. I think the Red Sox want to sell.
They want to get rid of Bogaerts. They don't want to pay him. They don't want to lock him up.
I think they do, and I think they're making a mistake.
So you
sell Martinez.
Yeah.
Sell Martinez. Yeah. And Martinez having a great year, you can get something for him.
So if you sell Bogaerts, that means...
You might as well sell Devers.
That means for us, that's you enter your rebuilding phase.
Yep.
And, you know, we're going to have pretty much crappy Red Sox for the next 4 to 5 years.
Yep. And your guy, Trevor Story, is batting like 204.
Yeah, I know. I know.
He does get hits every once in a while, which is, you know, better than he was at the beginning of the year, but he is batting 204. Right. So, and is the home run stuff is certainly not dried up. He had one this weekend. It's not that somebody you want. He's not Bogarts, right. Put it that way.
Or Devers.
Or Devers. Yeah. U.S. Open. Excellent weekend for sports in Boston. You had St. Louis, and you had the U.S. Open. It's absolutely fantastic. And the Open, you said you watched some of the highlights. Matt Fitzpatrick beat Will Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler at the end of the. It was drama all the way to the end.
Yep.
Shout out to the Country Club at Brookline. All I heard, they hadn't done it since 1988, I think, was the last U.S. Open they had there. And then they had the Ryder Cup in the late 90s. Shout out to the Country Club. They were just talking about how this is the way the U.S. Open is supposed to be.
Yeah, how it was managed, everything.
Course was fair and everything. You want to talk about golf stuff?
Yeah, I mean, people were talking about how easy in, easy out, all that good stuff to us fans. What did I want to talk about? What did you say?
You said you want to talk about LIV Golf a little
bit. Yeah, just a little bit. No, it was just we had talked about on the show last week. We were wondering if any of the LIV golfers that were going to the Country Club and playing the U.S. Open, would they be heckled or booed? So, I'm sure you saw this. Phil Mickelson, happened to be his birthday this weekend. There were a few fans that, you know, yelled, "You're a sellout," things like that. But for the most part, they were friendly and accommodating and welcoming, which is so not Boston fans. It's kind of frustrating that I was really looking for, you know, the obnoxious, you know, Joe Boston to kind of get all over these fans, and they didn't. None of the fans get over these players, the LIV players.
I think things are going to get worse for the LIV golf players.
Yeah.
I do. Because today came out that they might not be eligible for the majors moving forward.
You know, the purse for the U.S. Open was $17.5 million.
Yeah.
That's one hole in an LIV tournament.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy the amount of money.
And the human rights violations that is really coming out from the Saudis is... You could see the look on these guys' faces that they can't answer these questions anymore.
No.
They can't because they really are being sellouts right now.
Yeah, they are sellouts, and you're going to get to the point where there aren't going to be press conferences. Or if they're going to be press conferences, they're going to be in Saudi Arabia, and they're going to be controlled press conferences.
Exactly. So. Sports watching.
Yep.
We want to once again thank our advertisers supporting Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the MM Shop. Thanks to Fay Moore, Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Skelly's Market,
Bailey's Bubble,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Duran Independent Insurance,
Carroll County Oil,
Downtown Grill and Cafe,
Linda's Flowers,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
The Full Belly Deli,
Hancock Lumber,
and the Back Bay Boathouse.
We will be back on Thursday for more Mike and the Haas.